And right here, as we take a look at last night's Senate debate and a look ahead at a Julian Castro 2020 presidential run, we have columnist for the Express News, Gilbert Garcia, on our KTSA Window World Newsmaker line. Gilbert, thanks for coming on. Good morning.
Morning, Jack.
For me, the Senate debate last night really didn't come alive until the blind squirrel at the end. That turned the whole thing for me.
Yeah, I think that could turn the election, actually. I think the rocking out with the kids in the basement, I think, was also.
I got to be honest. Now, I don't know if you're being sarcastic or not. It was, to me, it was an incredibly just fake, phony, unbelievable, you know, laying it on too thick kind of moment.
The squirrel one.
The squirrel.
Yes. Yeah. That's probably true. I probably didn't give it that much thought myself, but maybe I was like worn out by that point. But that's probably true. I think a lot of that kind of stuff from any politician, when they start giving those kind of personal anecdotes, it tends to be like that.
I hate this trend now, and it happens in all debates, where you got to ask them some kind of off the wall, you know, spicy wings, what do you like on your pizza kind of question. Can we just stop that? That is just not, that does nothing but lend itself to these kinds of goofball right. moments.
I blame MTV for the, I think, the Bill Clinton appearance in the early 90s when he was asked whether he wore boxers or briefs. I think it's kind of, we've been on that path since then.
Okay, so we can blame MTV. I forgot about that. That's right. Yeah. They did get us started down that road. I thought the whole debate had the feel of two guys that were trying not to lose.
Yeah, you know, I think they both did what they wanted to do. I mean, Cruz, obviously, his big argument is that O'Rourke is out of step with Texas values, that he's too far to the left. And O'Rourke's, you know, argument is that Cruz is an absentee senator who just basically spent the first 4 years running for president. I think they both basically did what they wanted to do. It was probably more important for O'Rourke because the recent polls have created a perception that that the race is slipping away from him. And I think a lot of his fellow Democrats were frustrated with the first debate because they felt, you know, if you remember, he did something in that first debate where in response to just about every question, he would spend about half of his answer telling an anecdote about someone he had met in some part of Texas, and which left him very little time to actually respond to Cruz's criticisms of him. And so I think a lot of people on his side were frustrated that he didn't do a good enough job of answering Cruz and attacking Cruz. And I think obviously it was a very conscious strategy on his part to be more aggressive last night.
Yeah, I got that. There was definitely some attacks. He called him a liar called him out. I thought there were a lot of missed opportunities, though, and on Cruz's part as well. I thought there were moments that he could have gone on the counterattack, but it had the feeling of two guys whose polling indicates that this is a close race and don't do anything to, you know, potentially damage yourself in a way that you couldn't come back from.
Yeah, right. And, you know, like with Cruz, for instance, on the tariffs issue, I mean, he did state that he didn't agree with the president on tariffs, but he didn't want to dwell on that too long or criticize the president. So he pivoted to the idea that O'Rourke wants to have Trump impeached and that he, you know, he'll have no relationship with him. So he moved it to the impeachment issue. And I think both of them did this to some degree. They're just, you know, moving away quickly from the issue that they didn't really want to talk about too much.
Talking with Gilbert Garcia from the Express News right now on KTSA. Also, we have Julian Castro coming out in Rolling Stone magazine saying he's inclined to run for president, which is the least surprising thing he could possibly say. I think we know that. But right. I was saying before the break, I think events outside of his control actually favor his giving this a shot. And even if it goes nowhere, it puts him that much further down the road for the future.
Yeah, I think he's in a position, and I think the O'Rourke campaign in a way has demonstrated the idea that it's just incredibly tough for a Democrat in this state to have any success on a statewide level. I mean, O'Rourke has done some things, certainly fundraising, that we have not seen from a Texas Democrat before, and just the crowds and so on. And nonetheless, he's still several points behind in in all the polls. And so people who wanted either Julian or Joaquin Castro to run for statewide office, I mean, I think they have to recognize this would have been, I wouldn't say a suicide mission, but it would have been very tough. And so I think he's looking at it and thinking, you know, I mean, if you're going to run a race and lose, you know, maybe it's better to just go for the big prize. Yeah. And plus, I think Texas Democrats and we're hearing this about O'Rourke. I mean, some people in Texas are saying, you know, he'd do better on a national stage. And that might be true for Castro as well.
Well, one other thing about the national picture, I wonder if on election morning, or rather the morning after the election, I wonder if some Democrats are going to wish that they had been able to spread some of that O'Rourke money around to other states, right, where the races were winnable. Because if he loses, right, with record amounts of cash on hand, and then you lose... actually lose ground, the Democrats actually lose ground in the Senate because of close races in other states, what have you proven?
Yeah, and we're hearing that. And I would say that, I mean, O'Rourke has expanded, I think, the base, the fundraising base for Democrats. So it's not a situation where people who gave money to him were sitting back thinking, I'll either give the money to O'Rourke or I'll give it to some other Democrat, some other state. I think these are people who probably wouldn't have given to anybody, but they were inspired by him. So I don't think that it was a zero-sum situation there, but I would say that O'Rourke is probably, yeah, I know he's feeling some pressure to share some of that money now that he's got it with, you know, Democratic candidates, congressional candidates in other states.
I mean, both parties frustrate their followers when they do this kind of stuff. I was reading that Chuck Schumer is putting money, national campaign money, into the Menendez campaign in New Jersey because they're friends. And again, you have people saying, wait a minute, why are you helping him? And you've got Claire McCaskill in trouble, and you've got these other Democrats who could use a shot in the arm. Why are you spending the money on that guy up there? But I think when all is said and done, I have to think there's going to be some buyer's remorse on O'Rourke. I hear what you're saying about expanding the base, but that's an awful lot of money if you wind up with basically the same vote percentage as Paul Sadler had.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, it looks like it's going to be very unlikely for the Democrats to take the Senate. And so if you look at the amount of money he's got, I mean, there's no way any candidate could spend the amount of money that he's received.
Gilbert Garcia, read him in the Express News. Gilbert, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jack.
We'll talk to you. And one of the things we've been doing throughout the course of the day is taking a look back at last night's blind squirrel debate between Senator Ted Cruz and Congressman Beto O'Rourke, with just a few weeks to go in this U.S. Senate race here in Texas that has the attention of the whole country. Joining us to talk about it now, Jonathan Gerwitz, who is... a vice president with KGB Texas Communications and frequent guest on Gang of Four and formerly a member of the editorial board at the San Antonio Express News. He's on our KTSA Window World Newsmaker line. And Jonathan, it's good to talk to you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm looking forward to jamming out in the basement.
There you go. All right. With just don't make too much noise. You'll disturb the squirrel.
Right.
I got to be honest, up until the squirrel moment, it was kind of a, I don't know, kind of a meh debate last night. How did you see it?
Well, actually, I thought it was interesting. I felt like it had an edge to it because clearly, I think two things. One is that Beto O'Rourke came out swinging and went negative, which if you follow campaigns, political campaigns and how they operate, he had a campaign that has for months been touting bipartisanship and a new way of politics and being positive, and he went negative. And the only reason campaigns make shifts like that is because they know they're losing. So I think O'Rourke's own polls are telling him he's behind. He's got to make up a lot of ground quickly. And they've decided that they've got to come up with this new narrative about Lion Ted, mm-hmm. and he can't be trusted. And so he went negative last night, and I'll say that was new. And the second thing is that, look, O'Rourke is an appealing candidate for a lot of people. He's telegenic. He's a good speaker. But he's wrong on all the policies for Texas 2018. He'd be a great candidate in California or New York. He'd be a good candidate in in Florida or Arizona and a bunch of other states. But in Texas in 2018, he's not the right candidate to win a statewide office. And every year since 1996, the last time a Democrat won a statewide office in Texas was 1994. A statewide election in Texas was in 1994. In every election since 1996, Republicans have looked at the registration drives that Democrats have done and said, oh, we're going to lose. There's going to be a blue wave. And in every election, the Republicans have continued to hold their dominance in the state of Texas. And I don't believe 2018 is going to be any different. Despite the fact that Democrats have registered an enormous number of people. And despite the enormous amount of money that's coming into this campaign, half of it from outside the state of Texas for O'Rourke, I just don't believe, and the polls seem to indicate this, that most Texas voters, the people who actually care enough to go out and vote, not just sign a registration card, but go vote, I think that Cruz will win.
I think you're right, and let's say that you are right. Why would the blue wave, which people seem certain is going to happen outside of Texas, not happen inside of Texas?
Well, I don't think they know Texas. I mean, I think these people who are sending in checks from around the country, they don't get Texas. They don't understand local politics. Now it'll change. Look, Republicans have been on this streak since 1996. Pitching a shutout against the Democrats in statewide elections. At some point, it's going to end, and at some point, there's going to be demographic changes if the Republican Party doesn't handle their outreach to Hispanics properly. There's going to be enough demographic changes brought by people moving into the state from other parts of the country that the electorate is going to change. There's going to be changes because Texas is becoming more urban and less rural. And all those things in the long run portend, you know, like I said, the Republican Party will not hold, nothing lasts forever, and that includes the Republican dominance of state politics in Texas. But it's not going to happen. You know, we've heard this every 2 years since 1996. And it hadn't happened, and I don't think it's going to happen in 2018.
Talking with Jonathan Gerwitz right now about the Senate race and the debate last night, which probably is the last one, the one held at the Ken's studio, probably the last debate between Cruz and O'Rourke. It's interesting. He's got the incredible fundraising numbers, record for the quarter, record for a single Senate race. To put it in perspective, he's raised more money in the last quarter than most presidential candidates would raise in a quarter. But he literally doesn't have enough places to spend it. And when you look at all that outside money that people have donated to Beto O'Rourke, wouldn't it have made more sense if they're Democrats to have donated it to the very close competitive Senate races in other states where a few million here, a few million here might actually tip the balance? Are they going to have buyer's remorse on election morning?
I think they will, because I do think Cruz is going to win, but there's a point to this giving, and most of it comes through this national organization called Act Blue, this effort to nationally to elect Democrats across the country. And one is that if the Democrats can change the electorate in Texas, the number of electors, in presidential elections, if all of our electors aren't automatically going for the Republican candidate, then that pretty much seals presidential elections for Democrats, because you'll have California and New York, which already have all of their electors who go for the Democrat. If you throw in Texas, it becomes nearly impossible for a Republican presidential candidate to win. So that's why one reason why there's a focus on Texas is because they know those electors in the electoral college are so critical to their effort to make a durable Democratic majority in Congress and in the White House.
But I'm a little lost. How does contributing to making Beto O'Rourke the senator change the makeup of the electoral college?
Well, because the effort to turn Texas blue. to reverse the Republican dominance in the state of Texas. And some people believe that Beto O'Rourke is the tip of the spear who can make that happen. But the second thing is, and I think there are Democrats around the country who believe this, who look at Beto O'Rourke as the second incarnation of Barack Obama, that he was in Congress for a little while, he's going to run for the Senate, and that he could be a viable presidential candidate who has this kind of faux Hispanic sounding name and has this groovy appeal, and that he could be a very strong presidential candidate in the next election. And so I think a lot of people are enamored. It's obvious. You look at the kind of swooning over O'Rourke, that there are a lot of people who are enamored with him and think that he should be on a national stage. And so I think the combination of those two issues of trying to turn Texas blue for the electoral votes and this idea that he could be the next president has all this money pouring in.
See, I look at him and I'm not, and it has nothing to do with whether I agree or disagree with him or not. I disagree with him on most things, but I don't see I don't see what the media see in him. I can look around the country and see candidates who are also young, who are also rising stars, who are, I think, more impressive in their presentation and their credentials, like Josh Hawley, the Republican candidate in Missouri against Claire McCaskill, or Martha McSally, the Republican candidate and former fighter pilot in Arizona. In fact, the comparison to Obama doesn't seem fair to Obama. I think he was a better speaker and a more charismatic figure in his, early rise than O'Rourke is.
I don't disagree with you. What I will say is I think O'Rourke has done a great job of marketing himself. That tour that he did with Will Hurd driving back to D.C. and doing it face all the social media that was surrounding that. I think that's probably the first time that he appeared on the national stage. And this idea, and he's really capitalized on that. And he talked about it in the debate last night, that he and Will Hurd won some award for bipartisanship for that effort. And that's been the cornerstone of his campaign. It's a new way of doing politics and working together and reaching across the aisle, even though his policies are far to the left of most Texans. So I think he's done a great job of marketing himself as this new generation, new wave Democrat, and that it's caught on with a lot of the Democrat base around the country, and that's why he's received so much money.
Yeah. Final question. We've been talking about this on and off throughout the morning. If the Republicans have a bad night in a few weeks, how much of that would you lay at the feet of Donald Trump? He is saying, if anything, I've put you guys back in the fight, not taking you out of it.
Well, I think all politics are local. And in Texas, if there's a bad night for not because of President Trump, you look at the Kavanaugh hearings. And in states like California and New York, and you look what the polling data shows, and it shows that the hearings are going to drive a larger than expected turnout for Democrats. But in Texas, it's the opposite, that the Kavanaugh hearings, the reaction to the Kavanaugh hearings are going to drive a larger than expected Republican turnout. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, I think that there are some swing states where you might be able to say that the president's unpopularity will drag down some candidates. But in other states, it's going to be running on the Trump platform and running on the Trump policies are going to be winners in Texas.
It's not all one country. I mean, the whole country doesn't look at the Kavanaugh thing the same way. The whole country doesn't have the same approval rating for President Trump. You go from state to state, you find that his approval rating is not only over 50%, but in some cases well over it in states that he won in 2016. It just means to me that when you take a national poll – you're gonna weight it artificially with the people from the very populous anti-Trump states, and it's going to be a low number. But he doesn't have to win a national poll. He just has to win the states he won in 2016, and I think that's plausible.
Yeah, and that's why I say I think Beto O'Rourke would be a great candidate in California or Illinois or Florida, but he is not in Texas in 2018. He is not a winner. I don't think so.
Jonathan Gerwitz, we'll hopefully hear you on Gang of Four soon, and we appreciate the time today. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Thanks, Jack.